Well, we would sure appreciate your prayers this morning. We long for the word of the Lord to do what it's supposed to do for us. It's supposed to encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us. It's supposed to teach us. It's supposed to warn us. And we long for the Lord to have his way this morning. I wrote on the board, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" And you know, that's a big question that people have had to answer through the years. There's something in a man that longs to be right with God. If you look over history and you look over all the nations and creation of the earth, you'll find people everywhere trying to be rid of their sins and their guilty conscience. You'll find people trying to appease gods and whatever they dream up as God. And yet, the Lord has laid out a very clear path in His Word for us. And this morning, I would that the Lord would give us each one just a little something maybe we haven't thought of before, that we could just serve Him a little better. You know, Micah 6 and 6, we'll just start there. I want to read 6 and 7. This isn't really, these two verses aren't my main text, but it goes with it. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? How am I going to be justified before the Lord?" And so, you know, the writer writes here, how am I going to come before Him? Shall I give him, if it's possible, 10,000s of rivers of oil? If it was possible, could I bring that to the Lord and that would buy my way out of things? Well, I think we all know that's not going to happen. How can we give the Lord everything on the earth that He made anyway and spoke into existence? It's not what the Lord's looking for, is it? And it goes on to say, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know, people have done that through the centuries. They have done that many, many times. And there's a scripture, and I'm not, you can turn to it if you want. It's in Jeremiah 37 and 31. It talks about, they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Clark says Tophet, in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Tophet was the place in that valley where the continual fires were kept up, in and through which they consecrated their children to Moloch. You know, Moloch was a hideous looking thing, a god, that they made and built and designed, and on it they sacrificed their children. Roman and Greek history tells us that the Phoenicians and the Carthaginians sacrificed infants to their gods. The bones of numerous, anyway, it goes on, in a single child cemetery called the Tophet, by archaeologists, an estimated 20,000 urns were deposited. You know, this morning, there is something very heavy, and like I say, this is not my main subject this morning, but it leads into it. There's something very heavy about sin, isn't there? There's something about our souls and our need within us to know that it's okay with the Lord. And so people have gone to great lengths, and you find great sacrifices, and you see people will give great things. And I'm sure many times it's to try to satisfy their conscience. There's something in man that is too heavy to carry on our own. And so we find them going so far as to sacrifice their own children to try to satisfy that. But you know, I want to just mention this without, we already know these things, don't we? Thank the Lord. But there's a song that we mentioned not long ago that says, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There isn't anything big enough or grand enough that we can give to God to take care of our sin. He wants us to know that Jesus Christ, the only one that could possibly give that kind of sacrifice, the only one that was holy forever and ever, is the only one that could give that sacrifice, and He did. And He wants us to have faith in that and believe that and know that He made a sacrifice for our sins. And so we read on then, and it says, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?" So if we can't buy our way into this thing, if we can't give enough, then what does the Lord require of us? We know first it's faith in His Son Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's how we're saved. There's nothing we can do outside of that to be saved. Now we can bring forth works, fruit, meat for repentance, but we can't be saved except by the blood of Jesus and our faith in that and our confidence in that and accepting the Lord and taking His way. "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And I would that the Lord would open our hearts to more than I can say today. That the Lord reveals to us, what is it that He requires of thee? Is this outdated because it's in the Old Testament? Actually, it's verified over and over in the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus Himself spoke those things and told us. We'll read about it here in a minute. These words have meaning. These words in this scripture, He said, to do justly. Do you know that that word has meaning? Justly? He said, what does the Lord require? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord, with thy God. You know, in Luke 10 and 25, we find here a lawyer stood up tempting Jesus, it says. Luke 10 and 25. And listen to what he said and what Jesus said. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, 25, and tempted Him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Isn't that the question everyone in the world at some point wants to know? Lord, what do You require of my life? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What is it that You require of me? And He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." You know, I think that covers everything we just read. I think that covers it all. It covers loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. I mean, what else could He say? It's everything, isn't it? And then He says, your neighbor is yourself. He just throws that in. And yet, it carries so much weight, doesn't it? He said, and He said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." You'll have eternal life. You do this, you'll have eternal life. But this is our problem, folks. This is where we miss it. But He willing to justify Himself said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And you know, then we begin to look at the story there of this man that went down to Jericho. This is verse 30. We'll just kind of scan a little bit of it. He said, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. That was the religious, that was whom God had placed in place for his people. But when they saw this, they just went to the other side, didn't they? But a certain Samaritan, now they weren't quite so accepted, but he said, this Samaritan, when as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. They weren't accepted at all with the Jews. And went to him and bound up his wounds, and we know the story, he poured in oil and wine and took him on his own donkey or beast and took him to the inn and paid the guy and said, now when I come again, whatever I owe you more, I'll pay you. And Jesus just asked him a question. Now, which of these three? Which one of these you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. These three things that Jesus said here take in the whole of the commandments, don't they? There are six commandments of the ten that dealt with other people, wasn't there? And there's four that deal with our relationship between us and God. And, you know, he takes these in so easily. And yet they have such meaning in our lives. And so some people will center on one part of this and forget the rest. And I think about that as if we bought a car and it just had a really nice motor. It just had everything. It had the nicest thing. It was beautiful with chrome and everything. But it didn't have any wheels. You know, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? I want us to ask the Lord this morning. Because I'm looking at these things too. Lord, teach me. Do you know this morning, it's not enough to just stop and help our neighbor. That's not enough. It will make you feel better. It will make you happier in life if you are a giver and a helper. It will bless you to do those things. But it won't complete the life in the Lord. It doesn't complete what doth the Lord require of thee. It don't complete that. And so this Samaritan, he loved mercy. And he did that, and it was good and wholesome. I don't know how the man ever landed up or anything, whether, you know, I don't know anything about all of that. But I do know this. Jesus wasn't telling us about a feeling or a wish. He wasn't wanting us to wish upon that man that someone would stop and help him. We can have compassion in our heart, and yet there's nothing more to it. We have our own things to take care of. Do you know that Jesus expects us in life to have mercy on other people? He expects us in life to stop what we're doing, to put aside that important thing that we were doing for a more important thing, and that's one that's laying there dying and can't help themselves. Jesus expects that. And that happens in so many ways. It happens in spiritual ways. Do you know we can just see people floundering? And I mean people that we can help. I'm not talking about millions and billions of people out there. I'm talking about people that is our neighbor. Those that we see, we know we can do something about it. And it's within our reach to do it. Do you know it will bless our lives to help take care of those needs? You know, you'll be a lot happier person. No, it's not. It doesn't make you happier to get richer and richer. What makes you happier is to get richer and richer in the Lord. What makes you happier is just to do His will. Now, it doesn't mean we go around always, always taking care of everything else, but we never take care of our own personal self. We never take care of our family, our children. That's out of balance, isn't it? The Lord never would be approving of anything like that. But I'll tell you what He does approve of, and that is when we take into our life and ask Him, Lord, what do You require of me? Because I really want my life to, I want my life to be a mirror of Your Word. And so when we come to the judgment bar, I believe the Lord's going to be taking His Word, and He's going to be, you know, you've seen the little picture of the scales and the balance, and we're on one side and the Word is on the other, or however that works. You know, this morning, it's important, isn't it? It's important to God. I think that makes it important to us this morning. So this Samaritan had more than a feeling or a wish. You know, mercy, I believe this was from Webster's, that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. That's mercy. Have you ever been called on to treat someone better than they deserve? Maybe they were ugly. But mercy says that we see their need. We see their need, and we try to extend that help to them. When we're selfish, we fight back with everything we have. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. You know, and it goes on to say, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. There's no word in our language that completely takes in mercy. To say mercy doesn't completely say what he's trying to say here. And so that which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion, and clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. And so, you know, the Lord has said, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? You know, these are attributes the Lord wants us to build into our lives. Because when we're young, it's all about ourself. And I'll tell you why I know that. Take a little child and try to take one of his toys or hers, and they'll say mine. And they get that word down really early, don't they? Mine. And they get that temper down really early, don't they? To defend theirs and to hold theirs and maybe to get a little of yours sometimes. And so, you know, that's the way we are as people, isn't it? Well, the Lord wants us to grow. Because we haven't been everything we should be in this way doesn't mean we're sinful. It means the Lord wants to teach us more of who He is. And He says, I want you to treat your neighbor like you would want to be treated. The Lord had an amazing way of making things really, really simple. This lawyer talk, and who's my neighbor? Well, he just told him a story. Now, who was the neighbor? Oh, the one that helped him. Just go and do like that and you'll be all right. You know, lawyer talk don't work in the Scriptures. The Lord wants us to be merciful. He wants us to treat others like we would want to be treated if the situation between two people was reversed. Now, if we're selfish and we're in denial or whatever, then we don't have, our judgment is skewed. But if we have the judgment of the Lord, then we can properly say, well, I know what I would want them to do. Yes, I do. And, you know, that'll help us to grow in these areas. And so I just want to challenge us this morning to grow in the ways of God. You know, He wants us. He requires some things of us. He requires mercy. He requires us to grow in these ways, doesn't He? Blessed are the merciful, He said, for they shall obtain mercy. It's very clear through the Scriptures, through Proverbs. This was Jesus that said on the Sermon on the Mount, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, we all know that, don't we? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I want to think for a minute about this other part of the verse, but to do justly. Do you know that people, are selfish in their ways? Did you know that? Have you ever had any dealings with other people? Some of them are selfish, aren't they? You know, the Lord wants us to have a heart that actually deals with other people like we would want them to deal with us. And Jesus just made it real simple. He's the one that said that. He's the one that told us to, as you would that men, this is Luke 6 and 31 if you want to write that down. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Doesn't that just kind of make things right? And so now then He says to do justly. What does He require of thee? To do justly. You know, I've been in business a long time, and I'm not saying that in a boastful way. But I want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of things. I have seen a lot of things. I've seen people that I could believe every word they said. Because if there was any word out of way, they would be back to tell me. You know what? It wasn't quite that way. I didn't realize what I said. You know, I could always count on that. And then I've met with other people that they were so selfish that I could hardly believe anything they said. And do you know? And a customer that says the check is in the mail, and a week later he says I'm going to overnight it to you, and then several days later he says, okay, I'm going to send it to you. You know, how do you deal with that? There's something unjust about that, isn't there? Somebody did their job. Somebody worked hard. Somebody put out money and all of that. And then somebody else just lies to them again and again. Would you like that to happen to you? I don't enjoy it when it happens to me. It's happened many times. But I'll tell you, if we would switch the tables in all of our life, if we would switch the tables, and many times I've thought of this when working with marriages or whatever. You know what? Many times I've thought, be so nice to just exhort this couple to switch roles for just a week. Just a week. Switch roles and truly take on the other role for a week. Do you know that overbearing, selfish behavior that you or someone else may have would become really overbearing quickly, wouldn't it? It would become very unbearable. Do you know that the Lord told us that? He said, like you would have them do, you do. And so we get in a marriage, we get in our situation, and we just want the other one to do this. You just do it. You know, or what? You know, maybe the Lord wants us to think a little about how would that feel. Now, they're not reacting very well to that. They're not happy with that. Would I be happy with that? This might help our marriage. What's the Lord require of us? To do justly. To do things. I looked up equity. It's a very similar thing. To deal justly. Well, this isn't what equity said, but to deal justly, just, fair, impartial. Equity says justice, right. In practice, equity is the impartial distribution of justice, or the doing that to another which the laws of God and man and of reason give him a right to claim. It is the treating of a person according to justice and reason. I have found, one time a lawyer told me, he rolled back in his chair and he said, well, I found that people lie and cheat and steal. And you know, I've never forgot. I've just thought of it so many times. He just sat back and said, "Well, I've found that people lie and cheat and steal." Do you know this morning? That's selfish, isn't it? That's what that is. If our judgment isn't skewed, if our justice and reason, sometimes we will go by the law of God. This is what the scripture says. Use a little reason with it. If I was there, would this be fun for me too? If I was there, would I want my spouse? Would I want that business deal to be like that? You know what? I found that in business, I have watched people many times. And I've dealt with some really honest people too. And there's nothing like the saints to deal with, folks. It's so different than the world. But I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of people that justified the things that they did. And you know, and I know that if they were on the other side, they'd be hollering foul. No way. No way do this. You know what? In our business dealings, men, I want to encourage you to live that way. In our deals, when we go and we buy something, Solomon said, because he knew how it went. He said, the buyer goes and he says, it is not. But when he goes his way, he boasteth. You can't believe this guy sold this to me for $20. You know, that's dishonest, isn't it? We are the saints of the Lord. Saint means holy. I want to do a study on that sometime. Why do we call ourselves saints? It just means the holy people. That's what we are. That's who we claim to be. The Lord help us to be holy people in our dealings. And you know, and we are people. Sometimes we have to backtrack and start thinking, hey, I think it's pretty easy to lean it your way. And in business, you're trying to do the best you can. That's the way you do. But you know what else? You're trying to be fair and honest. And if the roles were reversed, that I would still think it was fair and honest. And so this morning, I just want to exhort us today. What's the Lord require of His holy people, of those that claim to be God's people, to be holy, free from sin? That's part of it, isn't it? As well as to have mercy. And we don't want to get stuck on mercy and forget justice. In John 7 and 24, Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We can get so much lawyer talk involved that we forget what righteous judgment is. And I'll tell you how that happens. It happens by a group of people just enduring for a period of time, and things get out of kilter then. Because at first everybody's really, you know, trying to do the right thing. And then after a while, we can sit back on our lees and things begin to get out of kilter. And so it got out of kilter. In Jesus' time, people that should have been taking care of their parents were saying, it is a gift. Corban. It is Corban. It is a gift. I don't need to take care of my parents. I gave to the treasury or whatever that meant exactly, and bought their way out of their responsibility to mom and dad. I want to encourage us. You have a mother and father, you have a responsibility to take care of them. They took care of you and they had a responsibility to take care of you when they brought you into the world. And God says we have a responsibility to them, doesn't He? Well, let's just know this is part of being a Christian. It's part of being one of God's people this morning. In Isaiah 10 and 1, it says here, and I want to notice the words. Isaiah 10 and 1. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness, which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment. Do you know when somebody is needy, it's easy to turn aside the judgment from them? It's very easy to take advantage of a needy person. And I have seen it done a number of times in ways that astound me. But the Isaiah goes on to say, and to take away the right from the poor of my people. Do you know it's easy to say, well, they said they'd work for food. You know, I know there might be a time for somebody on a street corner to work for food. But I want to tell you something. When there's people we know, they have needs too. That just food alone isn't enough. And he says, to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey. Do you know how many times widows is mentioned in the scripture? You know how important that is to the Lord? He lets us know, I will fight for those widows. I will be the one. I will be the one. I'll be the lawyer for them. You know, it's important, isn't it? They're at risk. They're vulnerable. They can't fight their own battles. And he says that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. Who would do such a thing? It happens every day. You know what? The phones ring millions and millions of times, probably every day, with people trying to rob the old or the vulnerable. How many calls do you get? How many texts do you get that claims to be, you know, you have a $100 gift waiting on you? Don't answer that thing. You open that thing up, and I'll tell you what, you're liable to get your phone in trouble. It happens. I know a couple of people that it happened to. But you know, this morning, that's taking advantage. How can people do that? Because of hard hearts. And we're called the holy people. We're called saints. We call one another saints. There's a reason for that. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be holy people. Not in our thoughts only, but in our actions. The way we actually do it. Treat others like we would want to be treated. And you know, that'll really solve things. We just turn it around. How would I want to be? And answer it correctly and rightly, and you'll get the answer. Almost every time. Probably every time. You know, then we go on now, and it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with the six commandments that deal with other people. Not to lie and not to covet their stuff, not to covet their wife, not to covet what, not to steal from them. All those things. Doesn't stop there. But listen to me. By far the best part. It goes on to say, to walk humbly with thy God. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy. I want to notice that word love. To love. To love mercy. get it down in our hearts. Enjoy the good things. Let God train us to be different. We're selfish when we start out. Little children are selfish. God wants to change all of that. He wants to give us a new heart, creating us new desires, and then He wants it to grow, and He wants it to produce fruit. Now, do you know this last part to me is the best part? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Do you know that God desires a relationship with you? Oh, do you know God desires a relationship with you on His terms? He does. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants to love us with a heart that's got more love. He is love than we could never have enough to say, we are love. That's God. But He gives us a piece of Himself. And you know, this morning, I want to think about this for a minute. To walk humbly. with thy God. You know, that means we get a proper view of ourselves. It's not humble to say, if you read Romans, the 12th chapter, read up in there a few verses there. It's not humble to say, I can't. It's not humble to say, oh, you don't know me. That's selfish. Because God can, and He said He would through us. Anything He wants to do. Now, I'm not talking about anything we want to do. Anything God wants to do through us, and He really wants to do it, we should never say, I can't, I'm not big enough. I know I'm not big enough. I'm not big enough to do anything. I'm not big enough to breathe unless God gives me breath every time. You know, but I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to view ourselves in a proper view. We're not bigger than anybody else either. We may have different gifts. The Lord may use us differently. And we may be in front more than somebody else. But I want to tell you, we're not one bit better, and they may be more spiritual than we are. The gift is different. That's the truth, I believe. The gift is different. Now, we have to be spiritual to be used of the Lord. We know that. But I want to tell you what, people can be spiritual and never be seen in public, hardly. Part of the background, part of the backbone, part of the fabric. You know, but what the Lord does want us to do, we ought to do. We ought to step up and know that He will be our God. It's on His terms. Isaiah 1, I heard this mentioned in Wednesday night prayer meeting, I think it was. And 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come and let us reason together. Now, do you think that, what's God talking about here? Let us reason together. We won't come with our, Lord, I don't think I need your blood. Lord, he says here, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord says, come and let's reason together. Here's the terms. Do you know that He also hears us? We can talk to Him. We can reason with the Lord. But I want to tell you, the terms are the Lord's. And I hope I'm getting that right here in the way that I'm putting it out. I know it's right in the way I'm saying it. But you know, this morning, it's important for us to know, when we come to the Lord, we talk to Him. Oh, how He desires and how He longs and how He longs and how He longs for a relationship with us and to speak to us and us to Him. The Lord longs for that. And I want to encourage all of us here to not stop by doing merciful things and just things. It is not good enough to be a good person. It is not good enough to do everything the Scriptures teach to someone, to others. It's not good enough to be that good of a person. We have to walk with God. We have to learn to walk with the Lord and walk on His terms. His terms are good terms. He said, if you'll be willing and obedient, I'll give you the good of the land. What more can we have than for God to say, I will give you the good? And He will, won't He? The Lord will do that this morning. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to be with Him? John 15, most of us know what that is, don't we? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer. I am the true vine, He says. Verse 5 of John 15 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. That's more than a meeting at the altar. That's good. But it's a starting place. He said, he that abideth in me. That means we live there. That's the place we live at. We don't just have a time of prayer and get our conscience cleared up. We learn to walk with God. We learn to abide there. We learn to hear His voice. We learn to seek for His voice. Lord, show me the way. Lord, show me the way, not only to heaven, but show me my way in this life. Now, is this too hard? I don't think so. Because the Lord don't require anything of us that isn't a more of a blessing than we had before. It's the truth. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, in each other here, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Everybody wants to bring forth fruit, don't they? The same bringeth forth much fruit. And for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so this morning, oh, I just want to challenge us, folks. The Lord longs for us to just be right in that place. And, you know, I know we're people, but that's why we need God. That's why we need Him. That's why we need to call out to Him, Lord, be my God. Lord, be my guide. Lord, teach me your ways and show me your paths. Give me your spirit. Give me a right spirit, Lord. Help me to judge rightly here. Oh, don't we long for the way of the Lord in our lives? I urge us, if we don't, to do that. Do you remember a man named Enoch? Who was Enoch? Enoch was way back there. How many from Adam does it say? The seventh from Adam, I believe that's right. And do you know, it says, this is Genesis 5 and 22, and Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know what that tells me a little about things? Enoch learned to commune with the Lord. He walked with the Lord. And the Lord loved it so much, he didn't even let him die a natural death. He just took him home. You know, that's how much the Lord loves for us to walk with Him and commune with Him and to be with Him. You know, the Israelites got in trouble again and again by taking their own way. And Samuel, there came a place where, you know, they had all these gods and all this stuff and everything. And there came a time and a place where the Philistines were bearing down on them. And they were going to take them over. They were, or whatever they were planning on doing, they were going to hurt them badly. And this is in 1 Samuel 7 and 3. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. Do you know that's the secret? We don't let anything else get ahead of it. Serve Him only and He will deliver you. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You know, the Philistines got, or the children of Israel got real needy here. And the 10th verse says, and they asked Samuel, Samuel, offer up an offering for us and pray to God for us. And it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Then Samuel took a stone, verse 12, and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. Folks, I want to just encourage us today in our hardest places, and maybe it's our own fault. These people served other gods. It's their own fault. But in our hardest places, if we will cry out to God, He'll help us to know the way. And these people, there came such a thunder that the Philistines were just completely put to the worst. They didn't even have to, it wasn't even all their fight. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Do you know that the Lord wants to put some finality to some things? He wants to put the axe to some of those battles and some of those things. The Lord wants us to have victory, and He wants us to win. And you know what? Many times, it's in our desperation. Lord, here I am. And, you know, these people, here I am, Lord. I've been worshiping idols. Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us here. And Samuel told him, put everything away and serve the Lord only. And then he'll help you. And you know what? The Lord thundered. And what a wonderful victory. What a wonderful victory that was. But Samuel died one day. The one that actually did that, he did what the Lord wanted him to do. He died. You know what happened a little while after that? The Philistines came back. And you know what happened to Saul and his three sons? They were all killed. Do you know this morning, if we will serve the Lord and serve Him only, He will fight our battles in ways that we never dreamed. How could you have dreamed the Lord is going to thunder out of heaven? A lot of people are going to die. All of that. Maybe the lightning. I don't know what happened. But I will tell you, the Lord knows how to fight our battles for us. And I want to encourage us today. What doth the Lord require of thee? To love mercy and to do justly and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. I want to encourage us today. Men, brothers, sisters, have worship together in your home. Have worship between wife and husband. Have worship every day. Have worship in the mornings. Pray to God. Have a little worship in the evenings. You know, the Lord wants to meet with us, doesn't He? He wants to be our God. He wants a relationship with us. Oh, let's don't stop by trying to be good and working as hard as we can, trying to overcome our temper and all of this stuff. The Lord wants to be our God. He wants to discomfort the enemy and put him to run. The Lord wants to do that. I want to tell you something, folks. We'll work together on this. The Lord will fight our battles. He'll strengthen our souls. The Lord will be our God. We don't have anything to fear in the name of the Lord. We have a lot to fear if we don't have the Lord fighting for us. But we don't have anything to fear in the name of the Lord. Oh, do those things that draw up close to God. Because He didn't stop with the justly and the mercy. Remember that. Let's walk with the Lord. Develop. Let Him develop with us a relationship. You need help with that? Let's work together on it this morning. Be obedient. At the cost of our life. Be obedient to God if it costs us our life. Be obedient to the Lord. Seek the Lord until He rains righteousness upon us. Upon your heart and your life. Oh, this morning I have one more little set of scriptures here. Two scriptures. Isaiah 66 and 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. That sounds pretty big to me. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? What are you going to build? What are you going to do? What are you going to give to me? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, there's been a few people down through the centuries of time that have done that. They have trembled at the word of the Lord. They have sought Him. They have humbled themselves and walked with God. Will you be one of those today? I know there's people here that walk with God. I want to encourage all of us. Be one of those. I'll walk with the Lord. I'll make that decision because God wants it to be so. So we don't have to wonder if we're one of them. Will you walk with God? Will you serve Him only? Will you serve Him on His terms? Will you be one of those shining lights that He's able and we're willing to let Him put us on a candlestick and shine to the world when it's dark all around? And we're not in their favor, but we're shining light to them. Do you know, sometimes that's the way it'll be. And there will be some that will be saved by that. You pray for me. I want to be one of those. Amen.